Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're going to be talking about Moon Knight Episode 3, Feedback. What are you guys are saying? We'll be right back after this ad.
We have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Ashley, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Matt. How are you?
Oh, so very, very tired. I got 2 hours of sleep.
You've had a week.
I have, yeah. My mom's been sick again, so I'm back caring for my niece, and it's been a week.
And holidays, it's always a lot.
We had a nice little Easter and everything. It was really nice.
Nice, yeah. Easter was just, I don't know, every year we do less and less on Easter. It just doesn't matter to us.
I have not done anything for Easter in years, but I was having to care for the 11-year-old, so I was like, I gotta do something, right?
And you did. You were very impressive. You did it very ingenious.
If nothing else, creative. I don't think she can hear me right now, so I'll say it. But no. Yeah, like I found out that I was going to have her on Easter night because my mom was in the hospital, but it was too late to do anything. Everything was closed in Prattville except for a gas station. So I had to like wrangle up all the Easter stuff from a gas station. So I got like a makeshift basket and I turned a bunch of styrofoam cups into fake eggs. And I put candy.
You're amazing.
All kinds of candy.
You did a great job.
It was really fun. She actually had a great time. She like looked mm-hmm. all over the house looking for eggs in quotation marks. It was super fun.
She just showed me that 20. She was very happy about that $20 bill in there. That was you could have probably put that in anything, but
right. Yeah, yeah. Good job. All the creativity didn't matter. It was the $20 that she's like, mm-hmm. let me show you what I got for Easter.
Yeah, I was like, ooh. And she was calling them eggs, so it worked.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. The illusion. Okay.
Michael.
It's illusion, Michael. Okay, let's dive right into Moon Knight. Did you have any Ashley Corner things to throw out at us before we get into feedback?
I mean, this episode was just awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We learned a lot. There's a lot going on. I love the scenes with all the other gods and the scenes in front of the pyramids with the lights and, you know, them putting their hands up. I don't know. It was just visually, this episode had everything that I wanted. The fight scenes, it looked like a Renaissance fair.
So cool. Yeah. I mean, it literally like a Renaissance fair, like setting completely. It was great.
It had that guy, that actor who had passed away right after they filmed this. The guy who is, you know, I guess the Layla's protagonist in the scene in the Renaissance fair looking thing, the French guy.
Oh, really?
I think he had like a, I don't want to misquote this. I think it was a skiing accident.
I remember hearing about that actually. Yeah. Ooh, I didn't realize that was him. That's terrible. Mm.
But it's good to see, you know, like you get immortalized on film, they say, you know, when it comes to Hollywood and stuff. And, you know, you got to show the world is art. And, you know, it's so sad.
It's so sad. Like to create something for people that's going to be this huge thing, cultural phenomenon, and then never get to see it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. You're breaking out. It was like, I feel like one of his first roles, because I think he was a French actor.
Dang. Yeah, and he was really good. I liked him. I honestly was like, I'm sure we'll see him again. I didn't realize that he had passed. That's terrible.
Yeah. Mm. So feedback.
Feedback.
Lighten it up.
Man, it took us to a dark place.
Sorry.
All right. First up, we got John Litz, one of our patrons, says, yo, yo. It's been a while, fam. Just thought I'd point out in Moon Knight, when Layla is getting her fake passport taken, the old woman literally pulls out what looks to be Zemo's favorite snack, Turkish Delight. A fun little thing I cracked up at. Literally was like, yo, that's Turkish Delight. I myself have started enjoying that fine, fine candy, and it's bomb. Turkish Delight appreciation post.
I try to like it. I don't like them.
I've never had them. What are they like?
So it's almost like they're powdered sugar. It's not dough, but it feels like a squishy kind of dough with, and it has some kind of fruity, jammy inside, and you can get like different kinds. It's just, I don't know. They remind me of like grandma.
Okay. All right. I like powdered sugary things.
And they have like normally. Fig in them or like apricot.
Yeah. It was Middle Eastern, like, datey type foods.
They're around my work all the time because we have, you know, we're like the melting pot at my office.
Yeah.
It's just so many different nationalities. I posted a picture in the Facebook group of me holding one like 2 weeks ago. I was like, Zemo, drop by.
Well, and that's what I love about this little Easter egg is I feel like a person creating fake passports, that's absolutely the kind of person he might encounter. And you can just imagine that he like stopped by earlier that day and left that Turkish delight, you know?
Yeah. He's a gift for my sweetie.
Yeah. So good. All right. Up next, we have Fear Milnir. Another one of our patrons says, hey, everyone, I'm back with episode 3 feedback. So personally, I think the best part of this episode was that we got to see the usefulness of Steven and him not just be comedic personality that we all felt bad for. I think Mark is also starting to understand he needs Steven to help him as we see Mark deny Steven a chance to shine when Layla says she needs him before Mark screws it up. And then, of course, Mark screws it up. And Layla almost dies, and then the second time Layla says she needs him, he gives Steven control, and Steven is able to fix the map and help immediately, and that shows the importance of that personality. Also, the visuals throughout this episode were amazing. I really love the sky moving from Khonshu and Steven, which may have been my favorite scene in the episode. Finally, okay. Is there any chance they are trying to replace Bast, Black Panther's god, with Tefnut? The woman avatar for Tefnut sounds just like someone from Wakanda, and Bast is never mentioned when the gods have their meeting. Granted, they may have left out Bast because he's related to Khonshu, and that would be a conflict of interest for him to decide anything.
She.
She. Sorry.
That's not you.
I should have seen it coming. Again, didn't mean to misgender the god. I just thought it was weird for another god's avatar to sound just like someone from Wakanda. That's all for me.
Well, they are today. In Africa.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, yeah. I think that's exactly it. He says, that's all for me today. Thanks. I hope everyone has a good day. And yeah, I think you're totally right. It's like that Wakandan accent is sort of like a Pan-African sort of accent. Different tribes drew their inspiration from different accents around Africa, from what I understand. And so, yeah, I think that's just why that they would sound similar.
I'm pretty sure Tefnut's like the goddess of like rain or some like rainfall or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
Let me give it a goog while you continue reading. In ancient Egyptian religion and mythology, Tefnut was the goddess of moisture and rainfall. She's the twin sister and female counterpart of the air god Shu.
Yeah, I think it's just Egypt is in Africa, and I think this is another god that, you know, or another avatar from that area that has an African accent.
We'll see.
Yeah. I really like the idea that, you know, Bast is the same god, and that possibly we get an actual connection between Wakanda and Moon Knight. Like, that'd be really, really cool.
I'd love that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Make it all connect.
Yeah. It's all connected. All right. Waterfall Angel, another one of our patrons, says, Moon Knight episode 3 feedback. Just a couple of thoughts from me. When Harrow is around the gods, can't they hear the glass in his shoes? Wouldn't they be like, WTF? Instead, they're just taking his word while questioning Mark's well-being.
I honestly am going to stop right there for a second because I love cults and stuff like that. I don't think any of the gods would care about that stuff because I'm sure they're used to their avatars doing those things. Like even Christian religion, you know, the people, what is it called when they...
Oh, like flagellating themselves?
Yeah, I feel like that's very common in like followers of gods and stuff like that. Like, I don't think they would think twice about it. And it seems like they know he's an extremist a bit, even though that trial didn't go very well.
Yeah, it's interesting. They acted like he didn't have, they didn't believe Steven. But yeah, I see what Waterfall Angel is saying. Like, if he's not serving a god, then why is he doing that? I think that's exactly the point. Like you're saying, these servants of these different gods do things like that, but like,
Did he say he wasn't serving a god?
I think so. I think he was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not searching for Ahmet's tomb. Like, that was his I mean, I guess he might just be serving Ahmet in some way, but what does that even mean if Ahmet's imprisoned except for trying to free him, right?
Yeah,
because that was the whole thing was Stephen was trying to get them to stop him from uncovering Ahmet's tomb, and they're like, we don't believe, he's like, I'm not doing that, and they believed him over Stephen or Mark or Khonshu or whoever.
Because you would think if you just bring any weird guy off for the street, they'd freak out.
Yeah.
And he'd already been Khonshu's avatar, so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. Their relationship with the people, with, like, humans, is very strange.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's see. She continues. Number two, I wonder if Khonshu thinks this other violenter personality and Mark are the same person. I also wonder if in the first episode, everything we saw or didn't technically see with the Scarab was the other personality and not Mark. That's a good theory. I think it's a really solid theory, actually. I think the idea of this other personality is really interesting because it does seem like Mark doesn't know he exists.
Yeah.
So is it possible that Mark is like further down the totem pole of the type of person that Khonshu wants to like be serving him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if this other personality, whoever it may be, is like breaking in and doing things, and like the fact that Mark doesn't seem to know about it makes it feel like Mark is, it's like Stephen is to Mark as Mark is to this other personality. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's possible.
She continues. Three. It's amusing that Harrow tells Stephen he's Ahmet's avatar when he's not, because she's trapped in the tomb. Further support, he doesn't go to the Ennead for the initial god summoning just when the gods call him to face the accusations. Seems he's just using the power imbued to the staff. Now, what would be hilarious is if when she's released, she doesn't choose Harrow as her avatar. In fact, what if she chooses Layla? There's a ton of circumstances that could land Layla in the vicinity of the tomb for multiple reasons. This would definitely motivate Mark to want to free Khonshu, which I'm assuming he probably wouldn't have wanted to do prior. Shout out to Karen Thomas, who jokingly said something about Ahmet fancying Layla instead of Harrow, which got me thinking. Sweet. Love y'all to the moon and back. Gandalf / Sharon. Gandalf. She comes in sometimes to the Trivia Nights Zooms. I think it was like was it Halloween?
It was Halloween.
Came as Gandalf and it was wonderful. And we pick on her every time she shows up that she should be, where's your beard? Where's the beard?
Who are you?
Yeah, who is this person? And then she yells something about how we shall not pass. I don't know. I forget the particulars.
It's a very Gandalf thing to say.
Okay, so what do you think about that? Layla becoming Ahmet's avatar.
I would want to know why all these gods are after her specifically. Like, why does Khonshu want her so bad?
I don't think Khonshu does want her bad. I think Khonshu's using that to hang over Mark's head. I think that's the whole... It's just like a manipulation game for Khonshu. I think.
It's probable.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think he's just threatening Mark with that.
Yeah. I wonder what it takes to become the avatar if you have to, like... It's like... Not like a demon, you have to let it in. Mm-hmm. Or if they could just take over your body.
Yeah.
I think you have to let them in, I would think.
I would think. It's a good question.
Because Mark was dying and he's like, you can either choose to be my avatar and let me in or die, I guess, because we haven't seen it.
That's true. I wonder with her, like, what's her overall motivation? Like, what's her origin story? You know, like, would there be a reason that Khonshu could manipulate her into joining him? You know what I mean?
Well, he could probably use Mark against
her. That's true.
Yeah.
I do kind of really like the idea of Layla getting taken by Ahmet and then it having to be like Mark having to fight her to try to rescue her. You know, like that does sound really cool. And just for the like fact that Ammet is a female god, like it would be kind of nice to get the female avatar to, you know, execute the what he's doing. And it also depends on what the avatar means. Like Hera says that he's the avatar of Ammet, but is that kind of true? Like, I'm really curious because can Ammet, even if Ammet can't talk to him, is he like think in his own mind that he is her avatar because he's trying to do her bidding? Does that make sense?
Well, he definitely has some kind of powers and the scale things, and that has to do with her. And I don't know why he'd be doing like the Minority Report thing.
Well, so far, all we know that his powers are, it all come from that staff, like Waterfall Angel said. So like, is it just the staff? Did he just find her staff and read about her and think that maybe Khonshu kind of failed him? Like Khonshu, you know, he saw as the avatar for Khonshu, he saw a lot of destruction in the wake of these people that Khonshu was like getting vengeance on. And then he did some reading about Ammet and what Ammet's deal was and how he was imprisoned. And he's like, no, I will become her avatar. You know, he like took on that mantle, even though, like, it shows that he has this deep belief, but it would be kind of amazing if, like, he wakens the god and the god's like, no, but I don't believe in you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not...
I don't care how much glass you put in your sandal.
Exactly. It absolutely would be a cool, like, turn. I like the theory, at least. I dig it.
Yeah.
Oh, up next we have a voicemail from Ryan. Let's see what Ryan has to say.
Hello, guys. Hope you're all okay and glad to hear your lovely tones back for feedback and reviews on Moon Knight. I'm really enjoying it so far, but I had to stop this latest episode, number 2, to congratulate you, Ashley. Well done. You were right. Wagwan is a Jamaican slang and it is pronounced Wagwan. I know when it's spelt, it's pronounced differently or it looks different, but that's how you pronounce it. I use it all the time. If I was saying hello to my friends, it would be like, Wagwan, Bredjin, you cool? Or Wagwan, mate? That, it's just a way of basically saying hello, how are you doing? And Isaac is using a lot of British slang. I've noticed if you watch this second episode at the beginning where Steven's talking to the security guard and they're going through the footage, he says to him, oh, come on, bruv, you know, you must see this. You must know a lot of us English people out here use the word bruv all the time. And I think you guys mentioned it, that he is basing the Steven character off Carl Pilkington from Idiot Abroad. So even though he's from up north, which is north of England, they don't have the same accent as down south, you're kind of catching little bits and bobs of what he's doing. And yeah, I'm really impressed by what he's doing. I'm from London. I don't think his accent's bad. I think it's a fine accent, and I see a lot of people giving him stick. I think it's fine. I personally think it's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Being from London, you see and meet a lot of different people with a lot of different accents because it's very multicultural. So you'll find someone from up north who's lived in, say, Leeds, but been living in London for the last 5 years, and they might have a mad little bit of a Leeds twang to it, or, you know, anywhere, Yorkshire or Scotland, or it is, it's what London's like. And, I'm just pleased that he's, putting it into this character in Moon Knight. So all in all, I think he's doing a really good job. And, just wanted to say well done on that pickup, and again, well done on the episodes. Talk soon. Take care, guys.
Ryan, thank you so much, man. I love it.
I know things.
Yeah.
I'm cultured.
I love that. And I love like that sort of whatever that sort of British slang is, sort of that more street sounding slang from Britain. I just absolutely love it. Like, like he said, Wagwan Bredren.
Yeah.
I was like, I love that. I love it so much. And that is also very Jamaican sounding. And also he said, I read the text of this first before I heard it, and I thought give him stick, they're giving him stick, might have just been like a mistranslation. I thought it was like giving him shit, but no, he said giving him stick, which I've never heard that phrase either. I love it.
It's so fun.
I just love that you guys are out there in the UK that can like give us these pointers on what's going on. Love it. Thanks, man.
More voice memos. I don't know why everybody thought that they could just stop doing that for me, but it did just kind of stop.
Especially these UK accents.
We love it.
Or any accent, or anywhere. Everywhere. Just I do like I like the voice memos a lot. And I don't have to read anything because it's not really my forte. But we've mentioned it before, but if you do send in a voicemail, best thing to do is just record it on your phone, like on your voice memo app, and send it as an email, because it sounds a lot better than trying to call the number we used to use a lot.
Yeah.
But good job, Ashley.
Yeah. Woo.
Up next, we got a Thugosaurus on Twitter. Says, I'm calling it now. The third personality of Mark/Steven is going to be named Ashley Coffin.
I mean, when I sleep, I don't know what's going on. I come home with, wake up with dirty feet. I'm just like, I don't think about it.
Wake up with dirty feet and blood on your hands.
Well, the blood's normal.
No. Oh, yeah. That's just left over from the day's activities. All right. Let's see. Oh, our friend Abigail Frey writes back with the badass comic book name. Hey guys, not sure if you've already filmed episode 3 feedback and rundown. However, I wanted to get this out there. I personally think that episode 3 was the best yet. I loved Layla, loved Mark, loved Steven, as always. And I'm excited to see where it goes. Regarding the third personality, my friend today, whom I was watching with, pointed out that in the credits on the side for Oscar Isaac, there are three of his heads, a reference to his three identities in the show. I thought this was really interesting. In addition, I love the exploration of Mark's fears and losing control of his actions, and giving it to Steven, or the other personality, as well as his admittance that maybe, he needs help. He can't do this alone. I love the development of Layla, her semi-begrudging support of Mark, and the delve into her own past. Overall, there are a lot of arcs and threads going, and I am very excited to see where they take us. Plus, the acting in the council and just the whole premise of the council in general was awesome. Anyways, love y'all 3000. Later, Gators. love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rad. Just, all that. Yeah. Great call. Great calls on all counts. I loved the Ennead scene. Just absolutely loved the Ennead scene. I just didn't expect it. I was really expecting, this is going to be a small story about these two gods feuding. And this whole idea of the pantheon is just going to be introduced, you know? And then for us to actually get them, coming into a council and understanding how they work and how they're avoiding humanity, but they're still sort of out there and, participating in some sort of conversations about the world. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's just so much in this episode. I really love it.
Yeah. It was very Eternally.
Oh, for sure. Very similar to the Eternals, for sure. Especially the thing about, we stay out of human affairs.
I know. I'm like, what good are you? Stay in your little huts. Get out of here.
Yeah. Gore had a point.
Yeah. Or Gore's coming for you.
Yeah. Gore was right. You need to write that on a bathroom wall. A little early.
Be ahead of the game.
Daniel Dar on Gmail says, "Hello, pandas. I'm Daniel. This is the first time I'm writing in. Found this great podcast a couple months ago and still catching up on older episodes. But with Moon Knight, I'm jumping to hear what you have to say on the new content. First off, thank you for joining us. I thought there was a joke coming. You were like, I found this great podcast. It's called, you know."
New rock stars.
I was like, shut up! Yeah, no. Stop talking about new rock stars. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man. I have a few points I thought worth asking/sharing. Number one, I have noticed that each episode has a clear shot of the moon, and each time it covers the relative part of the moon of how far we are into the season. Ooh, episode 3 was a half moon. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Just thought this was a cool way to visualize it. Attached are images from the previous episodes. I hope it is really a thing. On the last one, we will have a full moon. Oh, that's cool fun. Call. I love that. Thank you, Daniel, for writing that in. And it's a great prediction too. I love it because we've had a lot of these like where people write in like, I think they're going to go with the colors of the Infinity Stones, like that kind of stuff. But I love this. And it's another one that we can kind of check as we watch the next few episodes. Like, will they continue to show the moon in its various phases? That's super fun.
I remember writing back and I was like, well, it's called Moon Knight. And if there weren't a couple moons in there, I'd be disappointed. And he didn't get it. I was joking. I don't talk when we're going to read the mon on air, I don't talk about it that much because I want to talk about it here. But yeah, he didn't get my joke. Oh, sarcasm. Because I was like, I know, sorry.
Yeah, when the first sentence, I was like, I actually had that thought. I was like reading it, and sometimes we get feedback, and sometimes it's like super in depth and is something interesting, and sometimes it's like something it's like somewhat clear already to me as well. And this was not, but I just thought it was really funny. Right? The first sentence is just like, I noticed that there are a lot of moons in this episode, in this show. And I was like, yes, there are. There are. But no, that's a super cool catch, Daniel.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it could be Danielle, I guess. Sorry, I just jumped to Daniel. But welcome either way. Welcome. Thanks for writing in. They had a second part here. Do you think that we'll touch on Mark's Jewish background? Being from Israel, this is something I think could be interesting. To see Mark, a Jewish person, marry Layla, Egyptian, I think this could have an interesting dynamic between them. What do you think? Love you three, X. I'm going to assume that means three X-Men. And then a random number in the range of... Three times a random number in the range of 100 to 10,000.
I feel like if it was Moses' time, there would be a problem, but I don't think...
Yeah, I mean, like, I am not really... Like, he says he's from Israel, and I don't know much about the, like, personal politics of how things are going over there right now. And I know that there's a lot of... there's still a lot of tension between Israel and surrounding countries and stuff, but like, to say the least.
If anything, I'd enjoy that because I love when they have like, you know, the Romeo and Juliet's.
Oh,
people
yeah.
from two sides, of, you know,
star fighting sides lovers.
That are together. Yeah.
Moon crossed lovers.
Oh, look at you. Nailed it.
All right.
Not a good reference, though. Not a good love reference.
Oh, yeah, right? Isn't that always like the moon is like insanity?
No. Like, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be bad. And especially when we're talking about this idea that Layla might be coming, Ahmet. Like, what if Mark... Man. Oh, gosh. No, I don't want to say this out loud.
What, third personality is not going to care and he's going to take her out?
No, I think it's worse than that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, yeah, no, that's good. That's better.
She's going to totally fall in love with Steven. And I think Mark's going to be mad about that.
Well, it'll be so weird. This like love triangle with a man in the same body. Cause like,
oh my God, I can't even think of him.
That's so strange. Yeah. Right. Like, you think about like, you think about people like love triangles and why you choose the man you choose or the woman you choose in a love triangle. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, this one, we have this like sexual attraction and magnetism. And this one, I just love the way she thinks or like whatever, like different partners have different traits, but it's like literally the same body.
Yeah. Well, it could be like a inner poly relationship. Like, they exactly. disagree, but you just want to make sure that like during sexy time, the other one doesn't suddenly pop in.
Yeah.
And be like, hey.
No. Or they do. You know,
or whatever. They do, and they pop in and out. I could see
if it's all consensual on all three sides, I guess.
Let's move on.
That is
it'd be a good time. Maybe.
Somebody write that into Superhero Ethics. I wanted to hear his thoughts on a
because like, what if she breaks up with Mark and wants to be in Steven?
Yeah, exactly.
And then like Mark is just like torturing
them. Yeah, and he's like floating in the background seeing everything that's going on
in the
like,
mirrors. He's yelling at him in the mirrors. He's like, never mind.
He's talk. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's nowhere we could go with this. Everybody just think whatever you're thinking is what we're thinking.
It's like trying to gross him out and distract him, like yelling things that he doesn't want to think about during sexy times. That's pretty good. All right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have. Appreciate you guys writing in all these feedbacks, and we'll try to get to as many as we can next week. This week we had to record the lore.
Is that what we're going to call it now?
Lore and Thunder.
Thor lore is coming out soon.
Thor lore. Thor lore with the gore. Yeah, that
lore is pretty good, though. Yeah. I like it.
Well, we had to record that this week, so we kind of like had to rush a little bit on the Moon Knight episode. But we'll also be doing Moon Knight this week. The Moon Knight reaction episode 4, will be Wednesday instead of like, instead of the middle of the night, we're going to do it Wednesday, 7 Central. I think we're going to watch it at 6 o'clock Central and record the episode on Twitch at 7 o'clock Central. So if you want to join us for the live watch, that's scener.com/strandedpanda. And I'll make an event in the Stranded Panda chat on Facebook if anybody wants to join.
Nice.
We love you very much. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.